From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley studios in Boston, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. The fracking boom for natural gas and oil has created an abundance of domestic energy, but it can also lead to an abundance of air pollution if it's not appropriately regulated. And judging by the number of complaints, nowhere is fracking air pollution more of a problem than atop the Eagle Ford Shale in southwest Texas. An eight-month investigation by Inside Climate News, the Weather Channel, and the Center for Public Integrity has found many people in the region developed serious health problems after fracking began.
For myself, I've experienced a lot of difficulty with my breathing.
I used to come out here, this very park, before all that was there, and run literally about 4 or 5 miles a day without any problems. Now I barely get a mile out before I start choking. It's just something heavier with the air.
I have 2.5 acres and I can't bring my grandchild out here to enjoy it because I'm afraid for his health.
Jim Morris is a senior reporter at the Center for Public Integrity who traveled throughout the region as he worked on the investigation.
The Eagle Ford Shale is a formation that is at the center of one of the biggest oil and gas booms in the country, probably the world. It currently has almost 8,000 wells that have been drilled in it and another 5,000 or so that have been permitted that will be drilled. An industry person told us it is the biggest economic development zone in the world right now.
And this is oil and gas wells we're talking about here.
It's oil and gas, yes.
So what are the types of chemicals and how much of them are in the air as a result of all this drilling and fossil fuel extraction?
Some of the chemicals that go along with oil and gas drilling and processing include volatile organic compounds, benzene, formaldehyde, toluene, xylene. And these are chemicals that have been linked to cancer. They've been linked to neurological effects, birth defects. It includes a particulate matter and sulfur dioxide that can cause terrible respiratory problems. This part of the state has an added layer of risk. There's a chemical there called hydrogen sulfide, which is a naturally occurring gas that is extremely toxic, even at low levels, and can be lethal in relatively high levels. It's a particular risk to workers.
As I understand it, in Texas, it's pretty easy to do one of these wells without much of a permit. There's sort of a series of, in your report, what you described as sort of sizing loopholes. Could you explain that?
There is something called a permit by rule in Texas, which is basically an honor system. It was designed for, you know, small sort of mom-and-pop facilities that, in theory, don't put out much in the way of air pollution.
But wait a second. You're saying it's an honor system to control your emissions if you're doing fracking in Texas?
No, not for everyone, but for these smaller facilities, they essentially swear that, you know, they're not going to put out more than a certain amount of air pollution. And, you know, the state basically takes them at their word.
So if I, say, have an operation that has 10 different components, can I declare each of these as sort of independent so that I don't ever have to get a formal permit for my agglomeration of activity?
Yes, you can. Yeah, and that's being done. I think the term they use is stacking permits. You sort of stack one on top of the other, not taking into account the cumulative emissions of all those facilities together.
You profile one resident, Lynn Buring, who has more than 50 drilling wells within 2.5 miles of her home. Here's a snippet of her talking about her health problems.
Well, then suddenly this Eagle Ford Shale stuff starts happening. And I noticed that there's stuff coming up into my throat and my nose is shutting down and there's this heaviness on my chest and it feels like an elephant sitting here and it feels like somebody's choking the air out of me and I can't get a breath.
How common is that type of breathing problem in these heavily fracked areas?
It seems to be pretty common. We reviewed almost 300 complaints filed by people like Mrs. Buring with the state of Texas since the beginning of 2010, I believe. And a lot of those complaints describe situations like hers, you know, difficulty breathing, nausea, nosebleeds, severe headaches, all the sorts of symptoms we would come to expect with fracking.
What happened when these residents report these concerns to local regulators?
Well, not a lot happened. The 284 complaints we reviewed from residents of the Eagle Ford Shale resulted in 164 violations. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality sent investigators out, and in many cases, they did find violations. But I think the striking thing was that out of those 164 violations, there were only two fines issued.
By the way, how big were those fines?
The biggest was $14,000. But when you're talking about a multi-million dollar, you know, oil company, I don't think $14,000 really gets their attention.
So the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality declined an interview with us, but they did send us a statement in part that says, overall, shale play activity does not significantly impact air quality or pose a threat to human health. This conclusion is based on millions of air monitoring data points that TCEQ has collected since the year 2000. Jim Morris, how do you respond to that?
I think that's a rather misleading statement. They only have five permanent air monitors in the Eagle Ford Shale area, which is about 20,000 square miles, or twice the size of the state of Massachusetts, for a point of reference. And these monitors are not in the areas of heaviest drilling. Karnes County, which is where we spent a lot of our time, is the absolute epicenter, and is just unbelievably overloaded with wells and processing plants. They don't have a permanent monitor there.
Talk to me more about the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. What kind of budget do they have? What kind of personnel do they have to be the regulators?
During the same five-year period that the Eagle Ford Shale play was ramping up, was really going, which would be from about 2008 until the present, the TCEQ's budget, the state agency's budget, was being cut by a third. So, you know, at the very time you've got an extraordinary boom going on, the regulator's budget is being slashed. This is an agency that does not have a good reputation with environmentalists. Its chairman is a close friend of Governor Rick Perry. Its chairman is a climate change denier, as is Governor Perry. In one of our stories, we took a close look at the very cozy relationship between the oil and gas industry and the Texas legislature, which obviously controls the TCEQ's budget. It's rather remarkable. I think one of the key findings was that about one in four Texas legislators or their spouses have direct financial interests in companies that are active in the Eagle Ford. So, you know, you have to wonder how much independence people in the Texas legislature have.
What kind of recourse do people like Lynn Baring have if the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality is not really responding to their concerns?
People like Lynn Baring really don't have much recourse. You know, they can try to move, but some would argue they shouldn't have to move. They've lived there for a long time. This is where they, I'm talking about Karnes County, Texas, is where they plan to spend their retirement. One of the questions we're going to be asking of the EPA is, what are you going to do about this? We've presented this evidence that regulation by state officials is not very vigorous. People feel that their plaints are not being addressed. What are you going to do about it, the EPA? And so it'll be interesting to hear what they say, if they talk to us.
Jim Morris is a senior reporter at the Center for Public Integrity. Thanks so much for taking this time with me today.
Thank you.
And there's more on this investigation at our website, loe.org.